Gentlemen, gentlemen, let's get down to business.
Can you dig it?
Can you dig it?
Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it, yeah.
Can you dig it?
Shining.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Cue. My name, of course, is Mark Bland, and you are listening and watching The Cue, where you can always go to thecuenow.com to get the latest episodes, issues, as well as videos. Those are live now on the site, so you can always check that out. We are live on iWatchRadio.com. You can finally see what we are talking about, and let's get rid of that. Get rid of that. Just kill it. Kill it. Let's kill that off right there, and let's move on. We are going to talk about those flying people that really weren't flying people after all. It's possible you might get pregnant tonight, even if you aren't protecting yourself. And Lana Del Rey pooped out a horrible album. What you don't know who she is? You don't know who that is? Well, Lana Del Rey, no one knows who you are. That's why your album is horrible, and that's why we can't believe that it was actually turned into anything. So, let's move on with the show. Welcome to The Cue. Let's talk about this Pfizer recall to start everything off. Oh, first off, it is 2012. There have been absolutely zero people at all who have come up and stepped up to the 2012 Q Show Open Ping Pong Challenge. That's the Mark Bland Q Show Open Ping Pong Challenge. Anyone who lives in the city of St. Louis or any other city, I have thousands of fans nationwide, fly your asses on in, drive all the way here, however you got to get here. It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter to me or anyone else. Just get here. If you think you can beat me in a ping pong, best out of three games, we'll put it on video, and if you embarrass the hell out of me, then I will shamefully bow down to you live on video in front of everyone, and then we will post that to the internet for everyone to see. Unfortunately, no one with a sack in the St. Louis area, which pretty much is most St. Louis, has stepped to the challenge at all. Zero. Not many at all. I said zero. So there's no not many. There's just none. None have stepped to the challenge. Now, I have been told that the producer of some of the shows here on iWatch Radio, Patrick Gallagher, he has decided that he might take the challenge. I mean, it's come down to, Mark, what day of the week is good for you? Like, he's, like, gone that far. And I'm like, well, Patrick, any day that ends in the letter Y, any day at all, Monday through Friday, Saturdays and Sundays included, the end in the letter Y. Then he asked me, well, what time? What time would be good? I said, any time that ends in a number between 0 and 9. Anytime. Anytime, any place. And we'll play on the back of a 79 El Camino, driven by a Rob Evans. One Rob Evans, who lives in the St. Louis area, also someone who has not accepted my ping pong challenge, I would expect him to. That's exercise. All right, we're moving on. Pfizer has recalled a lot of birth control tablets, and I mean a lot of birth control tablets. Pharmaceutical giant Pfizer is recalling 1 million packets, ladies and gentlemen, of birth control pills because of a packaging error that could leave women with an inadequate dose of hormone-based drugs that raise the risk that they will get pregnant accidentally. That's right. The affected pills are 14 lots of low overall 28 tablets and 14 lots of generic norgestrel and ethinyl estradiol tablets. I'm not a female. No problem. I don't know how to pronounce the names of female estrogen tablets or things for not having babies. Yeah. Okay. All of which are marketed under the name Acromax Pharmaceuticals brand. See, what happened was that some of the packets had too many active tablets while some had too few. The FDA says, as a result of this packaging error, the daily regimen of these oral contraceptives may be incorrect and could leave women without adequate protection of contraception and at risk for unintended pregnancy. So, for all my men around the entire United States of America tonight, and while you're watching this over the next week, listening to it in your car, downloading the show on Stitcher.com's radio app for the iPhone as well as the Android phone, yeah, the queue has come far. The queue has come from far. Bar letters that just shoot out of my mouth. Yeah, the queues come from there. And you can. But if you are watching this and listening to this, and I just told you about this whole thing with the contraceptive pills, you probably need to strap one on, okay? Jimmy that bad boy up. No more excuses for at least a couple of weeks. These guys at Pfizer need to get this under control, or else there's going to be a lot of unwanted babies running around. And you know what that means, especially in an election year for Republicans. Headaches. Unwanted babies are headaches for everyone, because then there comes up the question of abortion and not having an abortion and having an abortion. Just save us all. Don't have sex, especially if you're a Hoosier who lives in St. Louis. Don't procreate at all. Don't pull your penis out. If your name is Patrick, you think you can play ping pong? Leave it in your pants. If you drive old El Caminos like a guy named Rob, leave it in your pants. I'm just telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back on the queue right after this. I've got a lot more exciting stuff to talk about, including Don Cornelius and his passing earlier today. So we'll be back on the queue right after this.
I'm a shark. 30 seconds. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
Look, I like you guys, okay? So I'll tell you where it is. But first, I need to see something, okay? And it's gonna involve both of you. I'm not gonna lie to you. It's gonna get weird.
I watch radio.
Now you can see what we're talking about.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the queue. Kill it! Kill that! Thank you very much. Welcome back to the queue. Mark Bland, Don Cornelius, a gentleman that I had the pleasure of meeting twice in my life, working inside the music business outside of St. Louis here. I had the pleasure of meeting Don Cornelius twice in my life. The first time was a very brief meeting for about 2 minutes. Very nice guy. And the second meeting that I had with Don Cornelius actually lasted about 30 minutes, where he kind of imparted some information about television and hosting a show that's music video based back in the early days of Autophobia, my other show that I had on WB. And very fantastic individual who imparted some great knowledge to me of things that I can do to make myself better. As you can see, I used none of it. Don, I'm so sorry. You're up there in heaven now, but I've used none of it. I'm still ugly. His exact statement to me was, Mark, I think you're going to have one hell of a show for the WB. And I know how to improve it. First thing we need to do is, well, first off, you would look great if you had a different head, a different body, and different names. You would look fantastic. And I was like, well, thank you, Don. I appreciate that. And then there was, after that, the second thing, where Don explained to me that my show would be fantastic if it had a new host, a different name, and it wasn't like filmed with Canon handycams, like high-def Canon handycams. If you didn't do your show with a high-def Canon handycam, you would be so talented and things would go so well for that show. He was right. I have done none of those things. I'm still me. And I still film with a Canon Handycam. And therefore, voila, there you go. All right, so Don Cornelius, the host and founder of an influential music show called Soul Train, was found dead this morning in his Los Angeles home. He was 75 years old, which kind of amazes me. I didn't realize he was so old. I had no idea that Don was up in his 70s, honestly. Cornelius, a journalist by trade, started Soul Train in 1970 at WCIU in Chicago, and it soon became a national television platform, one of the first to prominently feature African Americans, and one that introduced many musical acts to the American public. Cornelius hosted it until 1993 when it went off the air, and it went off the air in 2006. In 2008, he was arrested for domestic violence at the same house where he was found dead earlier. The same year, he sold his stake in the show to Mad Vision Entertainment. But today, let's not think of those things. Let's remember the dulcet-voiced Cornelius the way we always knew him, interviewing musicians and introducing the Soul Train line. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want to say a big rest in peace to Don Cornelius, someone who I found some actual information from that was very beneficial to my career. And, you know, I wish him nothing but the best in the afterlife. Rest in peace, Don Cornelius. It was a self-inflicted gunshot wound. So apparently he committed suicide. That's very sad. But Don Cornelius, dead at the age of 75. So rest in peace to him. Let's move on. Mitt Romney. Let's talk about Mitt Romney for a minute. Mitt Romney appeared on CNN's Starting Point with Soledad O'Brien. Fantastic name. I don't think so. This morning to gloat over yesterday's win in Florida, which he got a big win in Florida, and instead told her he doesn't care about poor people. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It is 2012. At the end of this year, the first week of November, we are going to go to the polls and we are going to elect a new person, or potentially the same person, to run this country as President of the United States. We do this every 4 years. Now, I think it's amazing that I've come out here week after week on the Cube, and I've explained that the conservatives, aside from being blowhards that nobody should give a crap about ever, yes, that guy right there, okay. Monster Energy, you need to be sponsoring me. And Mitt Romney, that guy. I don't know. Sorry, Don. Don Cornelius, ladies and gentlemen. Mitt Romney is a conservative who's running to be president of the United States. You can see him there on the screen. Mitt, an amazing individual. What is this? Go ahead and let's take that phone call there. Caller, you're on the air. Caller, welcome to
Mark
the Cube.
Mark Bland, this is Travis Cook.
Oh, Travis, I love Rick Santorum, what his last name means, and Mitt Romney all at the same time, Cook. What's going on?
I resent that remark. I have no love for Mitt Romney whatsoever.
Yeah, let me finish this little thing I have here, Travis. Thank you for calling in. I'm kind of confused I'm kind of confused as to why you're calling in, but I love the fact that you did it during my Mitt Romney talk. So check this out. He said that he doesn't care about poor people. Romney said his current focus is not on the poor, as we have a safety net there, and he instead plans to focus on all those suffering members of the middle class. Bullshit. Calling bullshit. Middles. Yesterday with the singing. Today, with the alienating, the classist comments, and what do you think about this, Travis? You're the blowhard conservative.
Well, I believe you mean the enlightened conservative, but nevertheless, had it been Romney's position.
Say that again, I'm sorry.
Had it been I speaking after a win in Florida, I would not have phrased it exactly as he did. I probably would have said, you know, I'm not interested in the very poor, similar to how he said it, but I would not have made the commitment to fix the safety net if it's broken. That's the difference between Mitt Romney and a lot of the conservative wing that I'm in right now. We don't really have a great deal of love or a great deal of patience for that safety net that's out there. So
exactly,
that's where Mitt Romney is a little bit more moderate.
You said the wing of conservatism that you're in now, exactly which part of the psychotic ward, the psycho ward, is that wing in? Or what wing is it?
Psycho ward.
Which wing of the psycho ward is it?
I was not aware that there was a psycho ward in the Republican Party.
No. Oh, no, they called it the Tea Party. That's a much softer name. Much softer name. So what can
or a grassroots, whatever you want to call it.
What do I owe the egregious Travis Cook the honor of calling my show for?
Well, the reason I'm calling is, first of all, a couple weeks ago, of course, I was on your show. I made an appearance.
I do remember
and
that.
And I have gotten a lot of, I'm sure you remember it, probably the best ratings you ever had.
Close.
Over the last couple of weeks, a lot of.
No, go ahead. I'm
can
listening.
I talk now? Thank you. Over the last couple of weeks, a lot of the viewers of my show on YouTube, America's Evil Genius, have emailed me, messaged me, so forth, saying that they heard that show. They loved it. They enjoyed it. They thought I kicked your butt in the debate, but we won't go there. But they were very pleased with my appearance on there, and I'm always up for pleasing my audience. So I had a bit of a, well, I don't know if you want to call it an invitation or a challenge
or
an opportunity.
Oh, I love challenges.
You love challenges?
I love challenges. I've already put out 12 this month alone, maybe 14 this year, and none of them have been taken up by the St. Louisans as well as the people around the United States that listen to my show. What kind of challenge do you have? Let's see if I'm willing to accept your challenge. Do the days of the week end in the letter Y?
Well, the challenge I have, or invitation, opportunity, whatever you want to call it,
yes,
is I am extending the olive branch across the aisle.
Extending
my hand across the aisle, the way that you say,
you
and
are
many
gonna
others
Barack,
say that conservatives will not do.
You are going to Barack Obama me.
I will extend my olive branch across the aisle, and I will permit you and allow you the opportunity to come on to my webcast, America's Evil Genius.
Okay.
And I would like to debate you. Four different debates on four different topics. Mm-hmm. And I've always wanted, and my audience has always wanted, to pick the brain of a liberal, because there's certain types of topics that we hear your policies, we hear what you think about them, and we just don't understand why you think the way you do. And I'm not saying that necessarily as a criticism. Just,
No.
It's hard for us to comprehend how a reasonable person could think that way. So
now,
I
Travis,
wanted to bring you in if you're up to the challenge and kind of do that, kind of see how you approach things on certain issues.
Now, Travis, I understand that was a lot of talking for you there for a minute. What I want you to do is, I remember you were on my show a few weeks ago, as you mentioned. So you're a little bit of you're a larger gentleman. You might want to put a ding-dong in your mouth for a second so that I can say
I
have to say.
I am perfectly self. I'm in great physical shape.
You are amazing. You are absolutely amazing.
I've been on the Playboy Buddy Rose fitness program.
You are. Yes, you are. You are doing amazing. I am so proud of you and your ability to...
Hey, I'm heavy in the seat and I'm light on the feet, baby.
All right, here's the deal. I'll take your challenge. I don't have a problem taking your challenge. Because I'm not like the rest of St. Louis. I'm not like the rest of the United States. I'm not a puss when it comes time to step up to the challenges that are handed down to me. You call my show. You say you want the view of a liberal. Unfortunately, I'm a moderate. But I tend to lean liberal. So you're going to get yourself a little bit of what you're looking for. Okay? It's not
Fantastic.
Quite Vanilla Ice when he did the punk version of Ice Ice Baby. You're going to get a little bit more of a couple years after Ice Ice Baby was already off the radio, but he was still making money off of it. That's what you're going to get with me. Okay? I'm down.
You just compared yourself to Vanilla Ice.
I
that
sure
says
did.
More about you than I
sure
I ever
did, which
could.
Is better than what you normally do, which is compare yourself to vanilla ice cream and then you eventually start eating it. Okay? I don't have a problem coming on America's Evil Genius. That is the name of your show, right?
That is the name of my show. You can find it at youtube.com/America's Evil Genius.
What did you think of this?
I got that plug in there. That's professional.
Pretty much straightforward. We agree that we're going to do this. So we'll put this together and we'll get this
absolutely.
Knocked out. And then here's the thing.
Yeah, I will have my people call your people, because I have people now, And we will set up a date and time and so forth. And for all of my fans on America's Evil Genius, stay tuned. You will see them next upcoming weeks. The picking of the brain of Mark Bland
on
America's Evil Genius.
You're obviously looking to lose listeners. It's possible that you might be asking for a downfall.
I'm taking a risk by putting you on my show.
Yes.
I totally understand that.
Yes,
but
you are.
I'm a professional, and I think I can deal with that.
All right, fair enough, fair enough. Now, Travis, while I still got you on the phone,
yes,
right before I take my next break, which I'm going to be taking shortly, Sarah Palin, she did an endorsement this
America's
past week.
America's sweetheart.
Mitt Romney, let me read this. Let me read this. Mitt Romney, as expected, has won the Florida primary with a solid 14.5-point lead over Newt Gingrich with 96% of the total precincts reporting as of the other day. Now, I think that by the time that this show's run, they've upgraded that to 100%. But at the time, within the last couple of days, there's always a fluctuation period of a few days where they don't have 100% of the full votes in, but they have a really good idea. Now, Newt responded to the spanking in his usual gracious fashion with what sounded suspiciously like a victory speech, and instead declared that the Republican race henceforth a contest between himself, the conservative leader, who is not actually leading in any credible polls these days, of course, and the Massachusetts moderate, which would be who? Who's the Massachusetts moderate, Travis?
The Massachusetts moderate would be old moderate Mittens Romney.
Okay. Now, while the Newt's loss in Florida is no doubt somewhat attributable to his deep unpopularity with women voters because he's a cheating, lying bastard, and he's still got one famous lady backer out there that's willing to rush to his defense, why should Republican voters consider voting for Newt Gingrich in Nevada? Because of Sarah Palin. That's right. She stated, "I would vote for whoever it is to allow the process to continue. I still say the competition breeds success for the U.S., and that's what we need in this debate. So I would continue to vote for whomever it is to allow the process. And at this point, it looks like that's going to be Newt," said Palin, the former governor of Alaska, former anything at all, and former vice presidential candidate. By the way, that picture right up there, those two places. That is of Travis, who's on the phone right now. We put your picture live on the screen there, Travis, just so everybody can see you, see what you look like, because you don't get enough.
Well, you know, I'm glad to help. I'm glad to help your female viewership.
Listen, you don't get enough name plug as it is. So that's fantastic. Yes, beautiful. Oh, I love, by the way, just to let you know, I love your new intro for the show, the very Glenn Beck-esque, Fox-esque intro for America's Evil Genius. I love it. So that is fantastic.
Oh, thank you very much. I do my best.
Does anyone have any idea?
You were talking about Sarah.
Now, I'm going to ask about Sarah Palin because here's my problem with Sarah Palin.
Okay.
She's an idiot.
That's what I've been waiting.
She's an idiot
But I've been waiting for you to ask me about her for 2 minutes now.
She's an idiot. Okay, thank you. She's an idiot because she said absolutely nothing in that statement other than she might support Newt Gingrich. Then, does it really matter who Sarah Palin says she'll support? She's not running for anything. She's not doing anything of any importance. Literally, if MTV came to her tomorrow and offered her an MTV reality TV series that would debut or come after the Jersey Shore on MTV each week, she'd probably give up on talking politics completely just to be famous and have her name all over TV. That's what I think of with Sarah Palin. Am I wrong? Exactly what
is it
about her?
I think you're fairly wrong. Let me explain to you what she said that you evidently didn't understand. And this is actually what Sarah Palin has done quite frequently for the last 3 or 4 years in actual fact. Sarah Palin essentially articulated on the national stage exactly the misgivings that so many of us have about Mitt Romney. Now, granted, she didn't come right out and say, don't vote for Mitt Romney. But she tapped into that anti-Romney fervor that's out there, of which I'm as much of that as anybody is. I'm not looking to vote for Romney for any reason. And basically what she's saying is that for those of us in the conservative wing of the party, if you want an actual conservative, now is not the time to capitulate and get behind Romney. It's time to get behind the conservative leader, whomever that is. Newt thinks it's him right now, and certainly he's in the driver's seat with that, I suppose. But it's time to continue on and continue this fight so that Mitt Romney doesn't just wrap it up. Because for a number of us in the conservative movement, the prospect of an election between a liberal Barack Obama and a slightly less liberal Mitt Romney is absolutely horrifying. And Sarah Palin, as she often does, has tapped into that sentiment that's out there in the conservative grassroots community, and she's articulating it on a national level. And that's exactly what she did during her vice presidential campaign. She was the one person on the ticket who was articulating what we were thinking, and she continues to do that today.
I think you're nuts, Travis.
In other words, she's crazy like a fox.
I think you're nuts. I think you are completely off your rocker. You wore a Boston jersey live on the show. You just told everybody here on the show live that Sarah Palin is to be taken serious at all by anyone, and no one's taking her serious, not even people in her own party. The only way that the conservatives have a chance at all... Listen, the only way that the conservatives...
There's plenty of people who are Republican voters that take her seriously. The party leadership doesn't take her seriously.
Right, of course not.
But the party leadership is about as far out of touch with us as they can be.
We've already had this discussion. There's two people that can win the presidency of the United States for the conservatives right now. One of them has already left the conservative party because he got so pissed off during the George Bush years that he couldn't take it anymore. He happens to be somewhat black. His name is Colin Powell, and I would have voted for him.
Wow, when was Colin Powell ever a conservative?
Now.
So please do not confuse the terms Republican and conservative.
Don't worry. The day
they
before,
are not interchangeable.
Whoa, I know. The day before he resigned, you were a total Colin Powell freak. So don't sit there and try to play games. Now, second.
No, I appreciated his military contributions, but in terms of politics, I was never a fan.
Okay, now. The only way that the other person is going to win is if you take the looks of Mitt Romney, the experience of Newt Gingrich, and the policies in the background of Ron Paul. You put them all together into one person, you actually have a chance to take down Barack Obama. But you're not going to do it because nobody in the United States. Listen, I'm a moderate, dude. Okay? I'm speaking to everyone out there who's listening live nationally right now on the show, Stitcher, anywhere else, Q9.com, it doesn't matter, iWatchRadio.com, wherever you're at listening to this. Travis, I'm dead serious. I'm a moderate.
Okay, go ahead.
I voted for George Bush in 2000, John Kerry in 2004, Barack Obama in 2008, but I'm not against voting for a Republican or a conservative. I have nothing against that. I'm totally for it. As long as they have an option that looks good, that's what's good about being a moderate. I'm not going to sit there and just play up to my policies and ideals of what I want. I'm going to look at the absolute best package, and I'm going to pull from what's the best on the table at the time. Okay? Compared to Al Gore, George Bush looked like a better package. Honestly. I couldn't see myself voting for Al Gore. Nothing against Al Gore. He just, when it came down to being president of the United States, I thought... it was a lesser of two evils battle. And George Bush seemed like a guy who, you know, could pull it off. Now, he was hit with some crazy crap that happened during his, you know, his presidency. Something that's very hard to deal with for any president. I'm not going to knock him for the decisions he made because although I didn't agree with them, those are the decisions he made, and I support my president. I supported my president for 8 years. Even though I didn't agree with what he was saying, I supported him. If he came to me and said, Mark, I need your backing on this, I would have been like, yes, Mr. Bush, I will support you. Now, when it comes right down to it, I do the same for Barack Obama. And I'll do the same for whoever the next president is. Right now, I'm not seeing anyone across the board, period, on the conservative side, Travis, that has any chance whatsoever. Now, there's a lot of guys out there with great ideas, but no one who's coming through with the full package. If you could, before you get off the phone here, and before we're going to take a quick break right after this, Travis, if there's one conservative that everybody needs to be focusing on, in your opinion, who would it be?
Well, the one I like the most is Rick Santorum, but right now I think he's too far behind. And as much as I don't necessarily trust him, I think he got to get behind Newt Gingrich right now. You are right to an extent when you say that there's certain things about all of them that we like and certain things about all of them that we don't like. If you could combine the positive aspects, you'd be in good shape. But I think what you're overlooking is the idea that Barack Obama is fairly unpopular right now. I think there is a poll that came out today that showed his approval rating in all 50 states.
I don't
states,
trust any of that.
And he was over 50%
one. We don't trust any of that.
Point of that is this. If this election is framed as a referendum on Barack Obama, regardless of who the candidate is, then Obama loses.
Okay.
And
fair
it
enough.
Almost doesn't matter who our candidate is.
Listen, I'm going to play this the same way that I've always told the UFC they should play their game. They should let all the fighters come down to the ring, WWE style. Make it a big to-do and a big ha-ha. Listen. Let them talk all the trash they want on camera. Let them do whatever they want. You could sit there and claim this poll means this and that poll means that. I don't care. Come November 4th, 5th, 6th, whatever day it is, the first week of November, on that Tuesday, it doesn't matter what all the talk said. It's going to come down to those votes. And either he wins or he loses, straight up. So we can sit there and play the what-if game all day long. He's the incumbent. He's going to be there on that day. So we might as well prepare for the potential that he could win again. And that's all there is to it. And I respect that. And I would hope the conservatives respect the fact that he could win again. There's a potential.
There's always a possibility. There's a possibility that Walter Mondale could have won in 84, too. But possibility and probability are two totally different things.
Travis, I want to say thank you very much for calling into the show. I accept your challenge. We will have more information
Fantastic.
On thecunow.com, as well as America's Evil Genius. You can find that through Google searches, and I'll put a link on thecunow.com for you.
Sounds good to me, sir.
The challenge is up. The debate is on. Mark, the moderate liberal, versus the super dorky conservative, Travis Cook.
I resent the term dorky.
All right. Travis, thanks for calling in, bud.
See you, man.
All right, take it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break here on The Cue. When we come back, we're going to discuss the passing of a social network. That's right, the internet is getting slower and slower. As well as we're going to talk about the Westboro Baptist Church coming to St. Louis real soon. And then I've got some great listener emails to end the show on. We'll be back on The Cue right after this.
Ah, the good old days. A day where the family would sit around the radio and listen to all their favorite worn-out tunes, cheesy radio host one-liners, and unnecessary minute-by-minute traffic updates. Ah, how the times have changed.
It's time to thank us.
Log on to Facebook right now, type in iWatch Radio, click like, and become a fan to find out about upcoming shows, new features, giveaways, and much more. Kiss the golden radio days goodbye at iWatchRadio.com. The revolution of social media is here. Stream us online at iWatchRadio.com, Facebook, and download our free Android app, iWatchRadio.com. Now you can see what we are talking about.
Welcome back to The Cue. Mark Bland. Of course, you're watching on iWatchRadio.com. Now you can see what we are talking about. The first internet radio station to broadcast live on Facebook. Don't forget to check out thecuenow.com, where you can listen to all my past episodes, of the queue, all of them. There's over 50 episodes of the queue that you can listen to, all right there on theqnow.com. You can also see the future episodes, watch the future episodes, listen to the future episodes, as well as information about t-shirts we're selling and places we're going and things that we're doing and blah, 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 blah. And by the way, the t-shirts will be up for sale on the site very soon. I have a place that I can use now. So that is going to help out with all my fans that want to get a Q shirt, which I have the new Q logo, the new Q everything, the new Qnow.com. So we're going to be starting to put out hats and t-shirts. It's going to be fantastic. Now, kill it. Kill it. Wipe that. Yeah, there it is. Gone. Did you see that? That was a whip swipe. I was fantastic at it. What is Bebo? What is Bebo? Is it a new internet nickname for Justin Bieber? That's not my first guess, but it could be. Or a social network you have never heard of as a result of its stint as an AOL property that was sold at an $840 million loss. According to a lot of unexpected weeping on Twitter, it's the second of these two things. The site unceremoniously went dark and left everybody confused about what had happened for several hours before a seemingly drunk company spokesman got around to clarifying that the actual problem was a technical cluster app. Yes. TechCrunch picked up on the Twitter morning at the first in and first ran the obituary. Largely forgotten social network Bebo may have shut down today. That was their Twitter. Bebo's users certainly seem to think that this is the end. The Bebo website is down, and as a result, there's a steady stream of sad tweets using the hashtag Bebo and hashtag Rip Bebo hashtag. And if it's a false alarm, the company isn't doing much to combat the impression. The most recent post on both the Bebo and Team Bebo Twitter accounts dated from November. So it's been a while since they have Bebo'd. Is that like... You tweet. Do you beat? Is it a bitter? We're gonna move on. Yep. We're gonna act as if that didn't even happen, ladies and gentlemen. And then a little later, the following hilarious update that did hit the internet like a bat out of hell. Apparently, all the online grieving was over a false alarm. A Bebo spokesperson just emailed me to say that the site was down due to a technical cluster app. It's not actually dead. He also says the site still has a niche audience, largely in the United Kingdom, and it will be launching more products soon. The $840 million loss put Bebo in such dismal company as the late Friendster and Justin Timberlake's MySpace, on which Rupert Murdoch took a bath of approximately $500 million. In June of 2011, after having screwed up in every way possible. By the way, the number one trend on Twitter, as of the last break I took, was that a $5 billion IPO, initial public offering, was just put in place and paperwork just filed by Facebook. $5 billion IPO. That's huge, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't know nothing about initial public offerings, go look up the initial public offerings of some of your favorite. Now, I don't have the information in front of me. I don't have any web abilities here. A couple laptops. Be nice. It'd be nice. That's all I'm saying. But they were not as big as $5 billion. So Facebook has just made a $5 billion IPO paperwork filing. And that means they're probably going to get what they want. And that means that Mark Zuckerberg just became so GD rich that it is literally like Uncle Duck. What's his duck? Uncle Duck McQuackers or whatever his name is. It's not Scrooge. Is it Scrooge McDuck? Whatever his name is, the duck, Donald's uncle, the one, Moneybags, swimming up and down through all those little holes in the wall and all those piles of money. Yeah, that is what our friend who owns Facebook is going to be doing for the next few weeks, along with extremely hot scantily clad women and lots of alcoholic beverages, I'm assuming. Because that's a lot of money. Did you guys ever hear what the guys with Google, the guys who started Google, the two guys that started Google, I have a friend who happens to live in Silicon Valley. He works for some of the companies down there now as a freelance person, but at the time he was working with Google. He actually went to college with the two guys that owned and started Google. When they sold Google off a couple of years ago for that few billion dollars, the first thing they did with their money, they bought a 747. They gutted it. They put a swimming pool in it. They put in actual, I don't even think it's a 747. I think it's actually the super jumbo jet. It had like double decker, apartment style, hotel housing inside the plane where each person had their own room with their own bed and their own everything. A pool, a common area, pool tables, everything, all in this plane. And they decided on New Year's Eve to start flying from Japan across the international date lines, back towards the United States, stopping in every city to have themselves a party at midnight in every single city. It legitimately happened. That is amazing. When you have that much money that you can retrofit a plane of that size to house hundreds of people, to take them on plane trips in the middle of the night across international datelines so they can be at midnight in every city as New Year's arrives and party in every city. It was like Australia at Sydney at the harbor. Then they went to, they went to Moscow. And from Moscow, they went down to Paris, France. From Paris, France up to London, England. England to New York City, to Vegas, and eventually to LA or something like that. Maybe it was New York to LA, something like that. Crazy stuff, just crazy stuff. In the 1800s, I'm gonna switch up the topics on you guys here a little bit. Have you ever bound a book with your own skin? By the way, anyone out there, do you know what this is called? This right here? See this skin? You might look at it and go, oh, you got flabby skin arms. Look at that. You know what that's called? That's actually called the weenus. You can look it up. W-E-N-U-S or W-E-E-N-U-S. It's called the weenus. So if you ever go up to somebody and say, hey, let me grab your weenus, you're not saying anything sexually negative toward them. You're just asking to grab that skin and pull on it. It happens all the time. I know it's kind of weird. Change the subject again. In the 1800s, binding a book with your own dead skin made a lovely gift. That's right. Skin-bound books may sound like a weird artifact that belonged in the Evil Dead movies. But from the 1600s to the 1800s, these suede-like tomes were less necromancy, more commemorative plate. And hell, converting yourself into a human moleskin upon kicking the bucket made for a heartfelt present, of course, to your loved one. The pre-anesthesia surgery blog, The Cherigan's Apprentice, has a charming overview of the history of anthropodermic bibliopegy. I'm going to go with bibliopegy. Or the process of binding books with human skin. Although this process sounds gruesome to modern readers, this process possessed a litany of meanings to prior generations. For example, the Scottish mass murderer William Burke was transformed into his own building or into his own binding as a ghoulish recycled measure, whereas other corpses were transformed into books to observe their passing, not unlike Victorian hair art, which I didn't know existed either. So that's all kind of weird. Here's what we're going to do, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to take a quick break. Actually, you know what? We're no break. We're running straight through. We're just going to run this bad boy straight through. We're going to knock it out. I think it's time for us to talk about this Westboro Baptist Church deal. Superior-rating asshole Fred Phelps and his Westboro Baptist Church plan to bring their piquant blend of ignorance, religious hate, and general dicketry, as I like to call it, to Clayton High School for a 30-minute protest on February 6th, which by the time you're watching this or listening, it might have already happened. Now, we all know that Fred Phelps is the leader of the Westboro Baptist Church, the God Hates Fags people. We've talked about it numerous times on the show. They suck as human beings, straightforward, like there's nothing to discuss. If you have your own personal opinion, you'd like to put it live on the air, 314 714-4200. If you're listening to this in your car on Stitcher, it's not Wednesday night at 8 p.m. on iWatch Radio. It's some other day. Don't call that number. We're not here. We're not doing anything. Or you might call another show. It's just not going to make sense. The group plans to picket from 7:50 to 8:20 a.m. It's a very specific time period, from 7:50 to 8:20 in the morning. It wasn't like, hey, let's do it 8 to 9, 8 to 10. Why is it that just that 30 minutes? Well, hold on. I'm going to jam my head so far up my a-hole as to properly quote from the press release. So give me a second here. We will give your children the chance to see what the truth looks like, the face of what they were entitled to have from every adult that ever touched their lives. You brutish teachers and hateful parents have broken the moral compass of this generation, teaching rebellion within everything you do and say. So now it's not even about being gay anymore. It's not about being black or white or Asian or purple, female, male, like any of the general, like now it's just, if you exist as a human being and you are not a part of the Westboro Baptist Church, you're a bad person. You want to see my hand disappear again? I bet you do. Watch this. Disappears. Disappears. It reappears. It disappears. It reappears. All day long. That's how intrinsic that the Westboro Baptist Church is to me. I don't even get through their story completely before I start doing hand puppet motions with a monster drink can. By the way, there's a little left. Delicious. And don't care. Now, the reason I brought it up is they're going to be in St. Louis. I pledge that every person that goes out there finds one of them. Now, I don't condone violence. Honk your cars loud. Swerve at them if you have to. Just don't hit one. Swerve at them if you can. And then these guys are just amazing to me. I'm sorry. Like, I know I try to put on an entertaining show, but at certain points I'm going to break character and I'm just going to have to come down. And it's not just the character I put on, because I'm kind of like this all the time, but these guys are dicks. Why? Like, I could understand if you had, like, one specific purpose or cause. Like, when it was the whole God hates fags and you were going to all the armies, funerals. That was just, like, your thing to do because you felt that the army and the gays and this, that, and the other. Not that I condone that either, or that I feel that that is good. I don't. But with that being stated, at least you had focus. Now you're just randomly showing up at schools because you think just general schools, like, why couldn't you have done this at a school in Kansas City? It's a lot closer to you. You had to go to Clayton High School? I don't get it. It's about time for us to get out of here. Of course, every single week before I get out of here, I like to read some letters from the listeners. And I do get quite a few letters from the listeners. Go to theqnow.com. There's a contact us button. Click the contact us button. And you can email me directly right there. You can just put in your little message to me and ask me any questions. And that's where I get most of these from. Or you can mail theqshow@gmail.com. That happens too. So let's knock a couple of these out before we get out of here. Dear Mark, how do you predict the future? Or rather, how do you decide whether to continue with something that makes you happy right now when there's a possibility that it will make you miserable in the future? I'm a woman in my mid-20s in love with a man in his mid-40s. My family is furious at the 21-year age gap. Every time I speak with my mother or aunt or grandmother, they argue that he will be aging in only 15 or 20 years. When I am in my prime and still full of energy, he will be senile and homebound. I will have to take care of him while also tending to my aging parents and probably late adolescent kids. My family never tires of doing the math. When I'm in my late 30s, he will be turning 60. When I'm in my late 50s, he will be approaching 80. And when I will be all alone in my old age, when I need a partner the most. But he makes me happy. And I know we would be great together. So what should I do? She didn't leave her name. Well, age is just a number. If you truly love this individual and you want to be with this individual for the rest of your life, and you're willing to accept those age factors, which there are not, you're not the first person or the last person who's ever going to have a major age gap. I mean, there is that dumb blonde out in Hollywood who's married to that actor who's like 15, she's 16, which is an even bigger age gap than you're talking about. Like, she doesn't understand that she'll be barely hitting her mid-30s by the time this dude's going to be in a wheelchair and sipping soup out of a strainer. But age and love know no bounds. You need to take that into serious consideration. You know, I'm not going to tell you to not take it. If you're in love with the guy and you really feel that you want to be with him, then just do it. And accept all the consequences that come along with that, whether it's people being angry at you or this, that, or the other. And you don't have to have no big wedding. You guys can go and elope, or you guys can go get a justice of the peace to get you married and things like that, and just have a small get-together when things kind of smooth themselves out. They never smooth themselves out. You knew you were going getting into that anyway. But I would definitely take it into account. I mean, he is going to be much older than you. Maybe it'd be better to find someone closer to your own age. Someone that you can share those memories together with and grow old together. I know that's not much of an answer, but that's a question that's kind of out of the hands of most people. I mean, I'm not going to tell you to not do it, but I'm not going to tell you, hey, you need to go ahead and do it, because I can't make that decision for you. Only you can make that decision. All right, last one. I met a woman at work 9 months ago, Mark. We clicked immediately, but I refused her advances because she was married to her second husband. In fact, after a few months, I could no longer resist the attraction. Immediately after we kissed, she told her husband they hadn't been in a real marriage for a long time and she was leaving him. She asked him to discuss dividing their possessions. Shortly after the conversation about those dividing of the possessions, he went upstairs after months of dealing with this mentally, knowing that this potentially was going on behind his back, and shot and killed himself. As you can imagine, she will never be okay. For the first couple of months, I stayed awake 24 hours a day with two mobile phones in my hands in case she needed me. At the suggestion of my psychiatrist, I told her she needed to see a professional, as I am not skilled in counseling and the strain was too great for me. Since then, we somehow launched into a downward spiral of shutting each other out, then hurting each other, and now lying as well. I love her, and I want to stay with her, but I can't deal with it. What should I do? She's dealing with a traumatic loss. Obviously, you guys are going down a wrong path with this lying to each other and arguing with each other and shutting each other out. And you are not in the position to help her, because you're the guy who was the other half of the equation that eventually led to her husband killing himself. Somebody that she honestly grew up with and loved and then eventually married. I think, in my opinion, best case scenario for this would be for you guys to get out of the relationship. Take a year or two off. If it's meant to be, you guys will reconnect down the road and things will be, you know, better. But she needs time to process. She needs time to get over this. She needs time to not have all this weighing on her shoulders and her head right now. I know you love her. And if you really do love her, the old adage, cut the string, let the boat float away. And if it comes back, then it was meant to be. That's literally what applies here, in my opinion. It's just my opinion. Many people out there have different opinions. I'll read them on the show. QNOW.com, theQNOW.com, theQNOW.com. Go there, contact page, past episodes, new episodes. It's time for us to get out of here on the Q, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank iWatch Radio for hosting this show every single week. Thank you to Patrick Gallagher. Still, no takers on my challenge, ping pong challenge. I'll find out if Patrick Gallagher, that man that I just mentioned, has the guts to step up to the plate, and if he does, we will videotape that. The destruction and annihilation of that man. You want to talk about controlled chaos? That's what that's going to be. Not just a bunch of talk about dating. No. A lot of great shows on iWatchRadio.com. Make sure you guys check those out. TheQNOW.com, I've already mentioned that. T-shirts are coming, all that's coming. Plus, Travis Cook has invited me. I am accepting the challenge. We'll have more information up on the website about the debate challenge between my liberal moderate ass and his conservative crazy ass. That's coming up very soon. Ladies and gentlemen, my name has been Mark Bland. This has been The Q for this week. I will talk to you guys and see you on the next edition of The Q. Real radio, real us. Hold up, hold up. Guess who the show up, hold up, poster, drop with the